The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, John tells us. Hiding. It was a wise course of action Jesus' disciples followed. Nobody ever wanted to be handed over to the Romans by the religious elites to then suffer the horror that is death by crucifixion. But fear of suffering the same fate as Jesus wasn't the main issue. Every person locked in that room had in one way or another betrayed their Christ. Either by commission or omission, every person in that room did Jesus in, strung him out, and their consciences were no doubt paying the price. So it wasn't just the Jewish authorities that had Jesus's followers trembling. No, what terrified them most was the big Jew, now reported to be resurrected from the dead and on the loose. What would he say to these betrayers if he found them? What should he say and do to them? Well, they didn't have to wait long for an answer. I suspect you could have heard a pin drop when, in spite of their best efforts to hide, Jesus appeared in their midst. Christ had come again to judge the disciples who now awaited the verdict. "Peace be with you," was the word they heard. Peace? You mean Jesus didn't pull out a hammer and some nails and ask, "Who's first? I got you now, suckers?" Could Jesus' words really be true? Peace? What about the betrayal? What about the sin? What about the fact that upon Jesus had been inflicted the treacherous sin of the entire world? A world that could not and would not trust the grace and mercy of God. A world of people that in an effort to be their own God conspired to silence their Creator. What about all of that? Well, for God to speak is for God to do. So when Jesus Christ says, "Peace be with you," then that's exactly what he means. The forgiveness he proclaims is exactly that, forgiveness. And God's forgiveness always makes peace between sinners and God. Said simply, Jesus' four-word sermon was sufficient. Still, the Lord always lavishes with his mercy. He always goes above and beyond to ensure his forgiveness produces the peace that he proclaims. And so Jesus became sacramental. Remember that a sacrament is a physical thing combined with a promise of forgiveness of sin. And in this case, Jesus' scarred body with his mouth preaching, well, there's your sacrament. The peace-proclaiming Jesus became a finger stickable to remove all doubt that the forgiveness he was preaching was real. He showed them his hands and his side, John tells us. He showed them the scars made by their sin, but in no way did he give it back to them. No, the sin that scarred their Creator and Lord remained on Jesus, and he wasn't giving it back. The sin of his betrayers, the sin of the stubborn betrayer Thomas, who actually needed to stick his fingers into his sin, the sin of the world, all of it was defeated. And just how do we know this? Answer, Jesus gave his four-word sermon once again. He doubled down on it, as we say. Said another way, he meant what he said the first time. And it was then that the disciples rejoiced, John tells us. Then Jesus did something particularly delicious. Receive the Holy Spirit. When you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. When you retain the sins, they are retained, Jesus preached. Said another way, Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of God, and he commanded that we use them. Well, here we are, and we should try it, don't you think? After all, there's a lot of Savior-scarring sin here. There's a lot of hiding from things done and left undone, both to God and to others. Furthermore, the only condition Jesus put on this forgiveness is that sin is retained when you don't forgive it. And that is something no one should want. So here goes. By the authority of the risen Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There, we've done it. He's for you, and you have life in his name. Peace be with you. Amen.